Praise God. Hallelujah. Nathan, I know you're just now sitting down, but you need to come back up here. I heard something. And Mrs. Nathan can come if you want to come. And glory to God. Yeah, tell everything. Preach, cast out devils, whatever.
Everybody lift their hands. No, I'm kidding. We just got back from, I went to Mexico, and my wife stayed in Texas with her family. We went down there to minister for a week. I went with my father-in-law, her dad, and my brother and her, or it's her brother-in-law then, but he's a really great guy. We were down there for 6 days, and it completely changed my life forever. It was super significant for me for many, many reasons. Pastor Dave had prophesied tons of stuff in the, like 10 years ago about going to Mexico, and it was all in my blueprint, which it's scary how if you have a blueprint and it starts coming to pass, how spot on it is. Earn some brownie points. I see Tim. Everybody have a blueprint? But it was really, really significant for me and my wife and what we know that we're called to. And it was, you know, it was out of obedience that we went there. We knew it was supposed to happen. And it was great. We had a really wonderful time. I spoke the first night and I talked about, you know, speaking in tongues, of course. What else is there, right? No. I shared my testimony and just shared about speaking in tongues and what it does for you. And, you know, I think about 10 to 15 people got filled with the Holy Spirit the first night. We did an altar call and they came up. And, you know, being here and just watching the way that Dave and everybody does it helped so much, because I was, you know, each one of them I would pray with and I would do the whole, you know, explain to them what was going to happen and how it was going to happen and make sure that they actually got tongues, you know. And so there's about 14 that got filled with the Holy Spirit the first night. And there's a lot of people healed. We saw lots of people healed. Lots of people's backs were healed. There were some blind people that were healed, some deaf people. I had taken handkerchiefs with me because I bought some like a while back, and they're in my pockets. And I started handing those things out because people would come up and say, you know, I want prayer for so-and-so that's in the hospital. So we started praying for handkerchiefs and handing them out. And they would take them and give them to the people in the hospital, and they would get out. I was like, what? Yeah. So I preached the first night, and then Greg did the second, third, and fourth night. And her dad was there. And if you don't know her dad, he is like a Pentecostal fireball. When he's under the anointing, he's like, bah! And it's like insane. No, I'm serious. That's how he is. And he's like slapping people, like, psh, psh, psh. And they're just like flying across the room. But the third or fourth night, the presence of God broke out insanely. And by the end of that service, it was like, you know, every night we'd pray for people for like 2 or 3 hours because there's tons of people that want prayer, you know. But by the end of that service, everybody in the building, without us having to pray for them, had responded to God and were at the front on their knees weeping without us having to call an altar call. Like, no one invited them up. And I was just in the back getting in touch with everyone else, like, yes. it was really, really awesome. And after that happened that night, there was a pastor there, and we were supposed to do the Sunday service together at the church, and the pastor from another church was there, was like, well, can we take Nathan and to bring him to our church? And Pastor Charles, my wife's dad, was like, do you want to go with these people to their church? And I was like, sure, why not? Complete strangers, you know, I'm in Mexico. I was like, why not? They took me like 30, 45 minutes up the road, and I did the Sunday service while Greg and her dad stayed back and did the Sunday service at the church we were at. And the pastor wasn't even there. He had to run an errand. Something happened where he invited me to come, and then he bailed. So I'm at this guy's church, and they're like, do the service. And he's not even there. And I'm like, okay, I'll do the service, you know. And it was insane what happened. Probably 15 to 20 people. Like, can I talk about it a little bit? they were doing their worship. You know how most churches will do worship, you know what I mean? And it was super emotional, super emotional. Everybody's dancing, you know, doing the whole spill of whatever you call it. And it wore me out because I'm not used to that. I'm serious. Like halfway through the worship set, I was like, oh, you know, Well, God started showing me the people that were up there that weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. So whenever I took the service, I was like, pink shirt, come here. I started calling them all out, and they started to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And it turned out that like half the congregation wasn't filled with the Spirit. There's like 20 people that got filled with the Spirit. God started showing me the ones that couldn't speak in tongues, and I would start calling them forward. And then he started showing me the people that were sick. And I would start saying, you're sick. And they'd be like, yes. And I was like, well, you're healed now. Because God's not telling me this just to tell you that you're sick, you know. And people started getting healed like crazy. And it was like 2 or 3 hours where I was just praying for people. And all kinds of miracles were happening. You know, I saw quite a few blind people that were getting healed. And deaf people. And loads of people were filled with the Holy Spirit. I prayed for this little kid that I think was 14 or 15, and he couldn't grow. And he didn't grow right in front of me, but I believe the next time we go, he's going to be like this tall. It was really, really awesome. I think overall we had 40 to 50 people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. And tons. When Greg would preach, tons of miracles, loads of people were getting healed. We talked about prayer and fasting the entire time and, you know, spending time with God and what it does. And let me just say this one, and then this was my favorite part, and then I'll stop. When I was ministering, there was an 8-year-old kid that had come up, and he was just weeping uncontrollably, like getting touched by the presence of God. So I just got on my knee and held his hand and looked at him and got touched with him. You know, I was just sitting there looking like, this is incredible. Well, he was like, I want prayer for my family because they're just a mess. And I was like, okay, let's pray for your family. And he's just sitting there weeping, getting touched. So I kind of moved on and kept praying for people. And I looked, and when I got to the very end of the line, the last people that I was going to pray for, I saw that kid again. And he was still weeping uncontrollably. This is like an hour, 2 hours later. And I looked, and he had brought his family up. And I don't even know if they were at the service or what, but he'd brought them up, and he had asked me to pray for them and said they were a mess, but then they all came up to get prayer. And it was just tearing me up because all three of them got filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, they just sat there weeping uncontrollably for hours, the entire family. And while it was all going on, I was just staring at the kids stare at me and get touched by God. And I was like, this is amazing. And it really messed me up. And it was just a really good time. And I know that they're already asking us to come back. I know that we'll be going back in the future because I know it's in my blueprint. yeah, and I think that's it. So it's good to be back. I was away from here for 2 weeks. I think that's the longest I've been gone from this place. God, I missed it. I love this place. It's so good to be back.
Thanks, God. Hallelujah. See, to me, that's a prime example. What matters? Nathan, how long have you been here at the prayer center now?
9 years.
How long did the Lord deal with you in Texas about moving to the prayer center before you came?
About a year.
So about 10 years from when you're exposed to this message. And as far as I know, the first time that you taught from this pulpit, was that during the youth conference? Was it? I've been reading a good book. Well, this is a good book right here. I've been rereading Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. It's really good to reread that book every so often. Don't ever think that you're not going to get more. Well, I have to qualify that a little. If you've been praying. If you haven't been praying, you're probably the same old person you were the last time you read it. And it's going to be the same revelation as the last time you read it. But if you've been praying and growing, I'm reading that book. I have read that book at least 6 or 7 times. And I'm reading it this time going, when did they add this paragraph? And I can go, I'm doing it the digital one, you know, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but the book is available in Kindle format. Those of you that use iPads and iPhones and Androids and all of that stuff, I love it because you can highlight and you can do notes and I can take it everywhere I go. But I'm noticing, I'm going through there and I'm going, My goodness. It's like, when did they add this paragraph? And it's not that the book has changed. It's not that the revelation has changed. Thank God Gary has changed. There's something in me that can receive that paragraph that before my eyes went over it. But obviously my mind did not receive it. I don't know whether my spirit did, but my mind didn't. You know, did you know you're not changed by the renewing of your spirit? Watch out now. Watch out. The transformation doesn't come. God already did that. You already created in the image of Christ. No, we're going to look at that verse probably today. Now, the transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. See, I'm listening to what's going on there. How many churches do you know of where you can just quickly go through and say, oh, and the blind people were healed and deaf people were healed, and everyone goes, okay. Did you hear what the man said? The blind were healed. The deaf were healed. Half of whole churches got filled with the Holy Ghost. 10 years. Eating your bread with quietness. Being useful in any capacity that you're asked to be useful in here. Praying and minding your own business. Not prophesying how everybody else is wrong. Not going around correcting everybody else. No promotion, no preaching, no schmoozing. Y'all know what schmoozing is? Buttering up the pastor. You know. Until God says, come up higher. And boy, when he comes up higher, I bet I didn't want to embarrass her. I didn't want to try and force her into bad confessions, his wife. Because here's what I wanted to do. Now, I didn't have you do it, so I'm going to do it so you can throw stones at me. But after hearing that, and how just so nonchalantly almost, oh, you know, the blind were healed and the blind saw, the deaf heard. I'm thinking, I want to ask the wife. Okay, Nathan, you go sit down. Wife, stay. Now, this happened because Nathan is perfect, right? I see, I didn't want to force her into sin. Or he's the holiest person in Tulsa. Maybe in Oklahoma. Is that why? And she'd have to go, no. And I don't want to force her into it, you know. No. It's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit that comes if you will allow him through doing the things that are taught here. See, but 10 years, I can build a ministry in 6 months. Sure. You can build it. And it'll be yours. And it'll be as powerless as all the other ministries out there. I like how Dave said it. It's not in the book, but it's on one of his tapes. And I also listen to Dave, even when he's not here. I got him on my iPod. I got him on my iPhone. For one reason, I like to drive and pray. I can pray in tongues, and Pastor Dave would teach to me for 10 straight hours. Glory to God. I love it. But he was saying, this is how we ought to qualify ministers. You want to be a full-time minister, do you? Fine. We're going to fly you over the Amazon, put a little parachute on you, and give you a pocket knife and push you out the door. And your job is to pray and evangelize all of the tribes as you work your way back. You and the Holy Ghost. No help. No mailing list. And if by the time you get back to Tulsa, you've been transformed enough where you've got whole villages saved and maybe 5 or 6 people raised from the dead, then we might give you an ordination paper. But other than that, why should people support your ministry? Y'all don't think Dave ever said that. Oh, yeah, he did. Yes, he did, too. So I love that testimony there. And this is just the beginning. Now, Nathan, I hate to tell you this part. There's more purging to come. There's more purging to come. Man, I'm no stinky. I know my God. Well, Hallelujah. I hate to tell you this part. I really hate to tell Gary this part. There's more purging to come. See what God, that report that we got right there through Nathan. Now Nathan, I don't want to throw any water on it or anything. I mean, it was great. We want that kind of report, whether you're called to full-time ministry or not. That should be the common type of report for every believer who believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, maybe it won't happen in Mexico. Maybe it'll happen in Walmart. Maybe it'll happen where you work. Maybe it'll happen at Reese's, at the grocery store. Maybe it'll happen Highway 75. You know, they had a big blockage the other day. They had a big wreck over here on Highway 75, and cars were backed up for miles. And I'm thinking, what a good evangelistic opportunity. If Halo Jordan was there, they'd be singing and dancing all the way down every car. Get on the green line, you know. I mean, it's going to be, revival is going to be different than how we've lived up until now. It's going to be different. Hallelujah. Open up anywhere. It's all good. Actually, we'll start in Luke 9, I believe, today. Again, he's still not letting me off of the crucified life. Luke 9. You can put a marker in Romans 12. If you really want to get ahead. Also, Galatians 5. And where did I say go? Luke 9. Okay, Luke 9. The reason he keeps bringing me back to this right now, yes, he is dealing with me personally. You know, one of the things you can always tell, not always, sometimes this is a good gauge. When the minister's preaching, a lot of times that's right where the Holy Ghost is dealing with him. Okay? And yes, he is dealing with me in this area really strong, the crucified life. See, he has dealt with a lot of strongholds since we've been here. When Sue and I first walked through the doors of this church, we were 45 years old. And, of course, we didn't know anything about the message the day we walked in. But looking back at it now, if I could have that opportunity again, before we walked through the door, I would go to one of these little T-shirt places where they print T-shirts for you. I'd get us a T-shirt and a ball cap that says on it, "Strongholds are us." And I mean it was. We were two of the most broken, defeated people you ever saw in your life. Broken by the world. Broken by man. And broken by religion, mostly. Got hurt in churches. Didn't trust pastors as far as I could throw them. Couldn't throw them very far either. And I was that way when we walked in here. And we wanted God. We'd love God. We had gotten radically saved quite a few, 12 years before, actually. And I can remember those days, just like Dave talks about when you charge hell with a water pistol. But by the time we walked through the doors here, this church, man, our water pistol was empty. Our eyebrows were singed off, and we had, well, I'd smelled like smoke anyway. But you know what I mean. It's like, man, we got burned. We got hurt. Didn't know what to do. Pretty well hopeless. And we come in and we sit right over in that area about where Angie, raise your hand, Angie, right about where Angie's sitting. And we sat there because there was a cluster of people right there and we wanted to hide. We just wanted to test the waters, you know, see if this preacher's any good. Man, I wasn't going to do this. Most of you know this real well. First off, the worship service that day wasn't like what we had today. Wasn't that great? No, it wasn't Bruce. Thank God. Bruce is over there. Was it me? No, it wasn't Bruce. It was so bad. I actually sat there thinking, well, we'll find out if this preacher's got anything, because if you can preach after that. Well, you know, Dave, he stepped forward when it was time. He just walked up to the pulpit, and man, I mean, you would have thought he just stepped out of the throne room of God. In fact, he even started complimenting the worship. He began saying, "Watch out now. Your feet just might start getting a little bit happy." And I'm thinking, to that? But he began to preach, and he didn't get just a few minutes into whatever he was doing, and the Holy Ghost arrested him. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And I didn't know what it was then, but he just, you know how you've seen him, he just kind of, straightens up, and he looks right over at us. We both, without talking, slumped down in our chairs like this. I said, uh-oh. And he just looked over there at us. And we're slumping more, and he walks, and he comes right down here like this. He just comes right down, and he goes, you two. And we're like, no, you two right there. I'm going, yes, yes. He said, I saw the hand of God come down on you two. He said, would you step out in the aisle where I can pray for you? Everything in me wanted to just say, we're new. We just came to test the waters. But you can't do that, you know. Okay. We meekly come right over here, and we're about halfway back down this aisle. I won't go that far for the camera's sake, but we're about halfway down the aisle there. You know how Dave, he goes somewhere. Wherever Dave goes, you know. Did you ever ask Dave the time? What time is it, Dave? Well, there was a cloud. And a hole opened up in the cloud. And then there was a deer that jumped through that hole. And after about 20 minutes, it's about 11:05. But you're going to get revelation knowledge, what I'm saying, with visions and everything. But he went somewhere, you know. Oh, well, you have to know that. You have to know this. I didn't put in the main part. The night before, we kept having this discussion because we had been really beat up. We had just kind of tried this church and that church around Tulsa for 5 years. We had not got resettled anywhere. And but there's a lot of good churches in Tulsa. Now, there really is. And it's not that they weren't good. They just weren't home. Something in us just, no, it just wasn't home. It just wasn't the right place for us. And some of them we tried more than once, you know. And so Sue, the night before, we were having this discussion at home Saturday night. And we're going, because during that 5 years, it was a horrible time. All kind of, the devil about beat our brains out. Anyone ever had the devil about beat your brains out? I mean, that's when I was diagnosed. They gave me 6 months to live with melanoma cancer. That's a fairly decent blow. Thank God I had enough revelation knowledge from the faith camp that we survived that one. Sue survived a really severe problem in her womanly parts that had that ruptured during that time. It could have killed her. All of our kids went into rebellion. Now, Angie always says she rebelled the least. Sitting right over there. Not rebelled the least, but she did rebel. I mean, it was a bad 5 years. And so we're sitting there that night before. We're going, we got to change. We got to get back in church. We got to get plugged back in somehow to God. The devil's going to kill us out here. You know, we're just like fodder for the devil. I mean, he's just taking all these shots. And so Sue, bless her heart, she said, well, you remember that Dave Roberson guy that we saw about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago at Bobby Andian's church? And I went, was he that guy with the mustache? Yeah, you know, and the big hair at that time. Was he the one that was so funny? Yeah, him. She said, I was driving down Union. He's got a church right down here on Union. Maybe we ought to try it in the morning because we need to change. And while I'm saying all that, the operative word that we had a private discussion in our home, change. We have to change. So he calls us out and he says, I saw the hand of God come down. Okay, we're standing over here. Part of me is scared half to death, I'll be honest with you. The last pastor seemed like a good guy, and he hurt us really bad. You know? And the Holy Ghost knew that he had to do something, or I may not be back. He had to get me. But he got me. So we're standing there, and Dave does, you know, he went off with the deer through the cloud somewhere. I don't know. Wherever Dave goes. And he says, I see a word over your heads. And that word is change. Oh, I knew the Holy Ghost had done got our number. I knew that we'd done, somebody's here besides that pastor. Had to be the Holy Ghost because only he knew that discussion that Sue and I had the night before. So he said, change. Then he says to me, or maybe us, he says, change. You do need change and the blessings of God, don't you? And I go, something real spiritual, like, yeah, we do. We really need it bad. Something real spiritual like that. Yeah. All I remember, he come up and he touched me. He just touched my cheek. Just touched me. I didn't even know there was catchers behind us. We'd never been here before. There was catchers behind us. I didn't know that. He just touched my cheek. I heard a crackle, like if you took two electric wires and crackled them to get like that. I don't know if anybody else heard it, but I heard it. And I didn't fall. I went scooching back. I went flying back there. Thank God there was catchers. And I'm on my back for a while. I don't even really know what he said to Sue. I mean, I'm already pretty well gone, but he ministered to Sue. Come here, my love. My beautiful wife.
Thank you, baby. He said, I see the Lord touching your body, and he's going down and down and curving. And I'd already had the surgery, you know, for the blood mass. But anyway, I felt this warmth go through my body as he would do this. It was really strange. I didn't know what to do, so I just stood there. But anyway, that's what, and I felt so much better after that, because the problems that I had after the surgery were not real good, you know, so I don't know how else to put it. So anyway, so I don't give you too many details that you don't want to hear anyway.
Now, the reason the Lord ministered to us like that is because we're perfect and holy. I told you we were strongholds are us. Number one, most of you know, I was smoking like a freight train when I come in there. And Sue, too. I wasn't going to say that part, but she said that part. So, and that, hey, that's the least of the problems. Hurt, resentment, bitterness, trying not to be that way. But I'm sure there was a lot of distrust. I didn't have the gift of discernment in those days. I had the gift of suspicion. I'm getting some people nodding their head. They know what I'm talking about. You know, I didn't trust you. I don't care what you say. I trust you. You know, that's the condition that we started in. And I don't know. Nathan was probably holy and righteous when he came. You know. Now he's shaking his head no over there too. Well, he was in his spirit, and so were we. But boy, you can see, it's amazing how you can be just God's child. Love God. We had been radically saved. I mean, you just don't know the people we were before. But you can be God's child with that perfect spirit on the inside of you, created in the image of God. Ephesians says created in righteousness and true holiness. And be that person that you're just God's favorite. And at the same time, be a wreck in your soul. Your emotions be all wrecked and controlled by emotions and wrong thought patterns and imaginations and strongholds, which is wrong thinking empowered by imaginations, you know. Yes, sir. But that was the beginning. And we just started doing the message. Took a while to get me convinced. Took about 6 months. Sue knows I'm a good student. Boy, those are the days of cassette tapes, and they'd give them away free here. You know, the service, you could get it free. Man, she'd get that, and I'd listen to that thing whenever I was in town. If I could, usually I couldn't play them in the trucks I was driving at the time, but whenever I could, I had them going. Sue knows I had them going. Dave was teaching 14 miles over our heads. Anyone ever know what I'm talking about? That was before the days of the parables. We didn't have a nerd boy and nerd girl at that time. We didn't have baby piranha. We didn't have Chuck the duck. And all of the parables since then that makes it easier. He would stand up there, and now the humor If you ever listen to those messages on the recordings from about 92, 93, 94, that lady you hear laughing in the background, that's Sue. And when she gets really tickled, you hear her go like that. She needed it. We both needed it. That, I'm telling you, Tim said it perfectly one time. The Holy Ghost revealed it. Said that humor of Dave's, it's like the enzymes that helps you digest the meat of the Word. Intellectually, we weren't receiving a whole lot. We'd try and talk about the message on the way home, and we couldn't hardly say two sentences about it. It was just, he said pray in tongues. That was about all we could get out of it, you know. And I go, are you better? And she go, yeah, I am too, but I don't know why. See, it was ministering to our spirit. Well, eventually we got to trust in Him. I checked it out. I mean, I checked it out for 6 months. Every verse. And I did know enough. I didn't know yet about all the laws of meditation, but I knew enough to know. I'd been hurt already by preachers who would lift verses out of context. And that's what I was mainly looking for. The man wasn't lifting them out of context. He was preaching them in context, you know. And I'm going, 6 months is a while when you're a pretty good student, and I am. And I said, I can't find anything wrong with this. Yes, sir. Okay. Now, where we're going with today's message, I just found out, too. See, we've been teaching on the crucified life. We've been teaching on the reason I had you go to Luke 9, which I'll read it in a minute, or maybe. He says, if you're going to be my disciple and follow me, you're going to have to do two things. Deny yourself and take up your cross. And he's been having me teach on that. And I think they've been pretty good teachings. But he just told me now today. See, the big question still is, okay, I agree. Gary, can you or can somebody please tell me how? How do I do that? It's got to be something beyond willpower. Anyone familiar with New Year's resolutions? Willpower? This is the year I'm going to lose 1,000 pounds. And I'm going to quit this, and I'm going to start that, and I'm going to do that over there. Mm-hmm. And willpower is good. God gave us a will for a reason. Trouble of it is, willpower is energized by human power. And it's important that you do have to take a stand. We tell people all the time, you know, you shouldn't really taper off of axe murdering. You should just stop that. There's some things you got to use your will on, is what I'm saying, okay? Either you stop it or we're going to put you in prison, but one way or another, it's going to stop, okay? How do you do it, see? Jesus, he says, unless if you want to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself. Today, in Dave's book, where I was in today's book, do y'all remember who King Cockroach really was? How many of you know who? How many don't know what I mean when I say King Cockroach? You need to read Dave's book. And if you read it, you need to read it again. King Cockroach is the one. I'll go ahead and tell this. Hey, I'm just going to follow him now. King Cockroach is the one. Now, Dave tells this in a funny parable. He says he was coming into the motel. It was back in the early days when motels were cheap. And he says, I kept reaching for the light switch on the wall, you know. And he says, there wasn't any switch. I found out later when I did get the light on, and I saw the streaks of other people's hands where they had tried to find the light switch. But this was such an old motel. He said, I'd walk through the darkness, waving my hand, trying to find the pull string in the middle of the room where you turn the light on. How many remembers like that? I'm old enough to remember that. He says, the trouble of it is, as I was walking towards that, I could hear this crunching under my feet. Crunch, crunch. What is that? Crunch, crunch. Waving, looking for the light string, you know. Well, crunch. And there's the light string. And he pulls on it. The light comes on. And what he sees is cockroaches scurrying for the darkness. Now, I'm going to give you this ahead of time so you can be thinking about it. See, your strongholds hate the light. Just like those cockroaches. They scurry for the dark. They don't even want you to know you have those strongholds. Just like a cockroach does not, it's dangerous for it to be exposed to the light, because what will happen? wham, wham, wham. Well, your strongholds are like that, and they stay hidden really well. You pray in the Holy Ghost. He shines a light. I mean, it'll start exposing those cockroaches. And some of them are little ones in the early days, you know. But now we're going to get the king cockroach. He, in this parable that he tells, he said, suddenly, though, he said, I heard a scurrying and I looked around. He said, there was a rat on the dresser table in that motel room. That rat was so big, a whole cat's tail was hanging out its mouth. How big a rat is that? This is a big rat. He said, oh, that scared me enough. But then I noticed there was a little chain around its neck. And then that chain kind of went over somewhere, and he got to looking. And there was a big cockroach holding the chain around that rat's neck. As fearsome as the rat was, that's not the one that was in charge. The one that was in charge was King Cockroach. It's King Cockroach says, you think you can run me out of here like you did those little ones? I am King Cockroach. Watch this. And he just, to the rat, he goes, roll over. Flips that chain. The rat just rolls right over, you know. He says, no, I'm the one in charge here. And in the parable, Dave says, yes, but I brought spiritual raid. He says, take your best shot. Dave squirts it right in King Cockroach's face. And he goes, oh, I like that a lot. I have a date tonight. Give me another shot. The point being, this one's tough. Whatever this one is, I mean, it's got the rat on a chain, which is a type of your body. Sorry. It's got the rat on the chain. Smoke! Yes, sir. Oh, man. Watch porn. Yes, sir. Hold bitterness. Yes, sir. Gossip. Yes, sir. Oh, if I stepped on enough toes, here, I keep going. Got the point? He says, King Cockroach, whoever that is, King Cockroach is the one dictating to the flesh right there. Spiritual raid, whatever. Dave never says what that is. I don't really know. But the best efforts at first don't deal with it. That's the point. All of your willpower, all of your best efforts. He says, oh, I like that. Give me another shot. I got a date tonight. That smells good to me. See? Then finally, he tells you who that King Cockroach is. You know who it is? For a love offering of 1995. I'll quit it someday, maybe. I think it's funny. As he laughs, I'm not going to quit it. That King Cockroach is self. Let him deny him self. Self-preservation. Self-interest. Yes, sir. Boy, see how this ties in with the message about agendas? Self is great at agenda. Even with good intentions. Well, this is how I think we should do this. This is how I think ministry should be done. This is how I think the Lord wants me to do stuff. See, if Paul would have been like that, the Apostle Paul, do you think if he would have had any say in the matter, he would have called himself to the Gentiles? This man who learned at the feet of Gamaliel, who was probably had an IQ like Einstein off the charts. I mean, this guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. You know, natural human reasoning would say, no. I mean, they considered the Gentiles the great unwashed and, they were low class. You know, they really regarded them low. Human normal wisdom would say, you send the fishermen to them. You send Peter, the uneducated, to them. No, Paul, he's got to go argue and declare, you know, however, dispute the law with the Pharisees and the, you know. Human wisdom would do that every time. And I'm sure Paul, if he'd have had a choice, if he'd have had a self-voice, to make a choice. He would have. I'm going to go to the synagogue. I'm going to teach them, which he did some. No. Jesus, the head of the church, he says, no. Paul, that may have been what you wanted to do before. That may have been your agenda before. But I've called you to the Gentiles. See, he asked the right question on that day in Damascus, on the road to Damascus. First he found out Jesus was Lord, that's who it was. And then the very next thing out of his mouth, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? It's a laying down of agendas, and especially agendas birthed from good intentions. Well, so Jesus says, if we're going to follow him into revival, Luke 9, verse 23. Well, let's back up just a little. Verse 22, he says, he's telling them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. If any man will come after me, how many want to follow him? For benefit of the tape, the video, there are actually people here. How many want to follow him? If you don't raise your hand, I'm going to have an altar call right now. Okay. If any man will come after me, you could say follow me. Come after me means follow me. Let him deny King Cockroach. Let him deny himself. All your agendas fall off on the floor. And the only question, the only valid question, Lord, what would you have me do? See? Take up his cross daily. If you don't have daily underlined, it's really important. Well, I wasn't going to do this one today. My job is to follow him, so I'm going to do that. How many times have we heard Dave say, the power of the new nature alone is enough to set you free from sin? Isn't that true? And that is true. And I've preached it, and I've known that for a long time, but in this past week, I got just a little bit, I thought I had it in full measure, and I'm still getting it in more measure. Because he started dealing with me about that verse that says, Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Now, you know he wasn't baptized. Now, the Holy Ghost, he also helps us, doesn't he? He also helps us with our infirmities, so our weaknesses in the flesh. But see, Jesus was not baptized in the Holy Ghost till he was 30 years old. But he was conceived with that life of God. What we call the new nature was his first nature. He had that life in him from the time he was a baby. So if it says he was titnap, but he was wearing mortal flesh, that is no different than ours. Mortal flesh, and he had a soul that could be programmed any way. Okay? Now, he never sinned. I'm a grandparent now. I talk to parents all the time. I say, at what age did you teach your children to lie? And I've never yet met a parent yet that says that taught them to lie. But then if I ask the next question, did your child ever lie? Oh, yeah. Something happens around, I don't know, it's different with different children, 4, 5, 6 years old, somewhere in there. Suddenly the thought comes, I don't have to tell the truth about this. Suddenly it just comes. Nobody teaches them. It comes from where? The nature that they're born with. We love them. They're our children. They're adorable. We'd do anything for them. We'd lay down our life for them. But they are born spiritually dead. And they're born with a sin nature. And finally, from that nature proceeds the first lie. And it dawned on me, never with Jesus. Even as a little child, age 4 or 5, Now, if he was tempted in all points like we are, then some occasion came where the thought came to him. Now, he didn't have a sin nature, but something would happen. If he was tempted in all points like we are, where there was a temptation to lie, and without the Holy Ghost, even at age 4, 5, or 6, that nature was strong enough to say, no. Now, our new nature, the one you receive when you're born again, is not all-knowing. It doesn't know everything. Now that you've been born of God, you have the capacity to know the things that are of God, and that's why I sent the Holy Spirit to teach you. But it dawned on me this week that the moment you're born again, when it comes to righteousness, your spirit man is born mature in the things of righteousness the instant you're born again. And that's what he meant when he says, I will write my law and into their hearts and into their minds. They will all know me from the least to the greatest. They won't have to go ask, is it sin to do this? Is it sin to do that? They will all know me from the least to the greatest. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now, if that nature is strong enough, even in at 4 or 5 years old, and already that nature is strong enough, no, that's sin. We don't do that. Then that tells me, Gary, you don't have to sin. Now, the problem, I think, is more difficult maybe for adults, because over a course of a lifetime, yes, sir. See, we don't get born again in the womb. We don't have the privilege of growing up being taught by the new nature. See, I was 33 years old when I came to the Lord. I had 33 years of my brain being programmed by a sin nature and also being programmed in a fallen world where what I see, I think, is truth when it's not truth. So we come into this, like Sue and I, like I was saying, strongholds are us. Got all kinds of strongholds. It's not a clean slate. But I know now, I didn't know it then, but I know now, the instant I got born again, I could have laid those cigarettes down. The only reason I didn't was strongholds, which means thought patterns empowered by emotions. But hey, that new nature comes into you full grown when it comes to righteousness. Now, it doesn't understand everything, doesn't know everything, but when it comes to morality, right and wrong, green light, red light, it from the instant you're born again, you know. Don't tell me you're a born-again Christian and didn't know it was wrong to commit adultery. You're either lying or you're not saved. That's what the Bible says. If you don't have that chastisement on the inside of you, if you don't have that correction from the Father, you're not His child. You're not born again. So I always say, if you go to a service one day and the subject that day is thou shalt not steal, and you turn to somebody and you go, who knew? At the altar call, go forward. Because you're not saved. Anyway, that's another message. So he's saying, we're going to deal with King Cockroach this year. See, this is the year we sell out to him. Well, sell out to him means King Cockroach is going to go. Self has got to go. Not just agendas, it's the self that produces agendas. It's got to go. See, King Cockroach this year. Well, how in the world do you do that? Well, kind of for review now, let's go to Galatians 5. I want to set you up a little bit. Then we're going to go to Romans 12. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. Just want to remind you that you are not your flesh. Now look at verse 17. Well, it's verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. These should all be little s. He is not talking about your flesh beginning a war with the Holy Ghost. If your puny flesh ever gets in a war with God the Holy Ghost, that will be the shortest war in history. poof, you're gone. I mean, that's it, you know. He's not been talking about that. He's talking about the new nature and how you walk in the Spirit, how you walk according to that new nature. So I'm just going to substitute new nature so there's no confusion. The flesh lusts against the new nature. And the new nature against the flesh. I'm going to say it a little more plain English. Your flesh wants stuff that's not according to God. Your spirit man wants stuff that is according to God. And here in just a moment, he says, or right here, he says, these are contrary the one to the other. Self wants revenge. Self wants vindication. How dare they? It's a flesh. And the Spirit will lay down its life for them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They're contrary and hostile. And in every area, my flesh, if I let it, man, my flesh could be 300 pounds if I let it. Are you kidding? It's crazy. It thinks donuts are health food. What? It's nuts. It doesn't care about health things. My flesh loves my taste buds. Taste buds. It goes, oh, that's it. Jesus died so our taste buds could be happy. That's what the flesh thinks. It's crazy. You know, he said there's a constant war. See, and this is for the Christian. Do you know the non-Christian doesn't even have this war? That was the whole problem. They don't even have this war on the inside. Now, the Old Testament Jew did because God gave him the law. So if he's trying to keep it, then there's an artificial tension set up because he knows what the law said, but he couldn't keep it, see? But if you don't have the law, hey, eat, drink, and be merry, you know? Do whatever the flesh wants. There's no tension in there because there's no new nature in there. But if you're born again, see, people get all discouraged because they're fighting a war against the flesh. And the truth is, thank God you're in the war. If you weren't fighting that war, that's when I'd be worried. Because either you're not born again, either you don't have the nature of God on the inside, or the devil has beat you into surrender. You got the white flag up. I'll just surrender to the flesh and that's it. No more growth for me. No more anointing for me. I'm just trying to make heaven now. Well, you can. If a thief on the cross made it, you can make it. But you're not at this church because you're trying to squeak in heaven with fire insurance. See? For the flesh, there is a war in the genuine Christian between the spirit and the flesh. Now, I want to jump on down because he's got somewhere else he wants to go today. So he lists all this stuff. And this isn't an exhaustive list. He lists a whole bunch of things in here that's the flesh. Then he lists the fruit of the new nature, which is the fruit of God. You're made after God's image. But look at verse 22. This is the fruit of the real you. This is in you, whether you believe it or not. If you're born again, this is in you. The fruit of the new nature is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And against such there is no law. So there's your warfare. That's the real you. And then the flesh over here, it's wanting all this other stuff. Well, who's going to win? And a week or two ago, the Holy Spirit was showing me this war. And I never heard it said like this till he said it. He said, well, one thing's for sure. Every day, one of you is going to be on the cross. And I think about the times my flesh wins. Who's on the cross there? Who won? We're coming to that place where we're going to put the flesh there and keep it there. If we have to put it there 27 times an hour. See, verse 24 is the answer. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. And if that's the only verse we had, it sounds like a one-time event. Like Jesus was crucified once. And then the Holy Ghost this very week corrected me on that. He wasn't crucified once. If Going back to that same verse, he was tempted in all points like as we are. That day that he chose not to lie at 4 years old, 5 years old, that day he chose not to. He put his flesh on the cross. He wasn't crucified once. He lived the crucified life. That's the only way you can live sinless. You got to live the crucified life and put the flesh on the cross. And he kept it there perfectly. Thank God. How many of you know it's Christ in you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's done this before. He's in you now. He knows how to do this. Be encouraged. There's someone helping you from the inside out, and he's got experience. This is not his first rodeo with the flesh. I'm preaching better than your amening, but that's okay. It's all right. Okay. All right. Now, this is deep. Call us unto deep time. Y'all better breathe in. I don't know if you can handle this. All right, go to Romans 12 and put a marker in Romans 8, a chapter you've never been to in your life at the prayer center. This crucified life that we're talking about, yes, sir. See, you can tell if you're going to put your flesh there daily. See, can you tell the flesh isn't really dead? Otherwise, there's no reason to put it there daily. You know, you don't hang a corpse on the cross. Isn't that right? You don't hang a corpse on the cross. So it's a living death. And it has to be done daily. Boy, does that remind me of a verse, Romans 12. A living death. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And somehow, when we learn how to do that, it's connected with verse 2. See, and means this is a connected thought. And be not conformed to this world. Well, that's what we want. We want to be changed. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, boy, we want that. But there's a connection. See, for years, I'll say it this way. In our BD, Dave's. BD. Before Dave. That's right. Sue and I don't measure things in BC, and all, you know, it's before Dave and after Dave. It's before this message and after this message. Well, before this message, I just skip over verse 1 there. I just go directly to verse 2 because I didn't know any other way. I was trying to renew my mind through the power of the mind, if you'll let me say that. That's those days, man, I'd be studying my Bible, and pretty soon, what does that word mean? I'd go get my vines, and then, well, I wonder what Strong's has to say about that. Well, maybe how Dave says, I get my Woost, my Weeks, and my Strong. And so before long, the whole dining table is covered with all these reference books. And an hour later, I still don't know what the verse means. I just know what it says. And there's a big difference. Okay? And I would just miss verse 1 there, but it's connected. You can't do verse 2 without verse 1. So, let's read verse 1 again. With the idea of the cross now. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, get the picture with me. A living sacrifice. Normally in this context, we think about the lamb coming and being slaughtered every day. But if you do that, you know the lamb dies. How about putting your flesh on the cross? Let's get that image today. All right? A living sacrifice. See, my flesh, I know that rascal. Don't tell me it's not alive. It has been declared dead positionally. But that rascal, I let that thing go a little bit. You give it an inch, it'll take a mile. I wasn't going to tell this, but apparently I am. Y'all can tell I've done pretty good this last year. I'm still doing pretty good. But the other day I had a flesh attack. a train wreck, a runaway. See, my favorite ice cream is mint. Don't get me any. God help you. I'll pray mercy on you if you do. My favorite ice cream is mint chocolate chip. And I thought that was the best ice cream on planet Earth. Until accidentally, she thought she was getting some of that, but she accidentally brought home mint chocolate cookie chip or mint chocolate chip cookie dough or something. It not only had mint chocolate chip, it had chunks of chocolate cookies in it. Oh, my Lord. I saw that. I went, and isn't it perfectly proper to know what that tastes like? I just want to see what it tastes like. I'm not even going to get a bowl. I'm just going to get a spoon. And I'm just going to taste it. Dang. Is that clean enough for church, Greg? Is that okay? Surely I must have mistasted that. I better try one more taste. I sat there and I ate half a gallon. Two hours later, I was repenting all over myself. Oh, the flesh is nuts, I'm telling you. It's crazy. I told you. Tell me my flesh isn't dead. I mean, tell me my flesh isn't alive. It is. It'll take whatever I let it have. See? Well, the next day, where did the flesh go? See, what do? You give up after something like that? No. Next day, it's back to salads. I mean, wonderful, delicious salads. Trying to change my confession. Beautiful broccoli. You know. Baked catfish. Not double battered and fried. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. We haven't got to the best part. I'm going to do it pretty quick here. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, every now and then, if you're human like the rest of us, every now and then your flesh is going to win a round or two. Don't give up. Put that rascal right back on the cross. Okay? But now, that's kind of willpower-ish what I'm talking about there. And that'll work to a certain degree. But see, that's what I'm talking about right there. You got to have some of that. Don't get me wrong. That's dealing with the fruit. It's not really dealing with the root. See? So, if we're going to stay with Paul here, many people, they teach that this verse here is talking about fasting. That you present your body as a living sacrifice. Well, fasting is fine. But if you're going to follow the laws of meditation, nowhere leading up to this has Paul mentioned the word fasting, not one time. What he has been talking about leading up to this is the power of the new nature and the Holy Spirit also helping you with your infirmities. Now, fasting is good, but it's just not what he's talking about here. So if you back up to chapter 8, and this is where we're... Earlier when I said deep calleth unto deep, you ready? I don't want you to get woozy now. This is a deep one. I don't know if you can handle it. I'm going to look at verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Gary, if you eat a half a gallon of ice cream every day, every day, every day, it's not going to be long, buddy. You'll be checking out. Okay? If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, and I hope you've been down the born-again trail enough to know, that's a little S there. The subject matter here in chapter 8 is how God has given you a new nature. It's what the man in Romans 7 did not have. He had the law, but no power to keep it. So he was constantly under condemnation. But thank God, this chapter starts off with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is a born-again person, and he says to us, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, through the new nature, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How do you do it? It's through the new nature. And the truth of the matter is, that nature is already righteous and holy. It just doesn't have full dominion over your soul yet. Because there are strongholds there. It's got to be pulled down, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling those down. Well, this new nature is the first and primary thing that God gave us. Now, here's the deep calleth unto deep. This week in prayer, the word mortify. If you spend a night in a mortuary, being prepared by a mortician, the next morning your body will be mortified. And you won't have any sin problems anymore. So mortify means put to death. It means bring to a standstill. And the Holy Ghost said to me, now here's deep calleth unto deep. I saw it. I saw this one. I hardly ever see this. I saw this one written out. I saw it like in a vision. Like Dave saw the word change. I saw mortify equals crucify. It's talking about the same thing here. How do you crucify the flesh? How do you present your bodies a living sacrifice? What's he been talking about? Come on right on down to verse 26 in that same chapter. The new nature is the first and primary thing that he gave you to have dominion over your flesh. But then he also likewise, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit also, that word also is so important. Also means he's already given you one thing to help. Now he's also given you something else to help. And that's the Holy Spirit helping our infirmities. He will come in your warfare against King Cockroach. How do you present your body a living sacrifice? You ever tried to pray in tongues for 2 or 3 hours? 4 hours? Okay, yeah. Some are scared. 15 minutes. You flesh like it? I've been at this a long time. I've been recommitted to a certain prayer time that I wasn't doing for a while, but I'm recommitted to it. My flesh, it hasn't given up even after all these years. I start praying. I'm not 5 minutes into it, and I mean, here comes the list. Oh, it's not even dawn yet, and it wants me to go check the oil in the car. One morning it says, Susan would say, if you go to the grocery store, check for this special on meat or something, you know. And I'm going, yeah, that's it. Sue wanted me to go to the grocery store. It's 5:20 in the morning. They're not open. The ones she's talking about, they didn't even open until 7 o'clock. And my flesh is going, oh, you promised. They're not even open yet. My flesh, don't tell me it's not. I mean, you want to kill King Cockroach, do you? The subject matter leading up to 12, it's through the new nature that you mortify equals crucify the deeds of the body. Let me read it again, exactly. That lost my place. 8:13, right? For if you through the new nature do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body. You could write crucify, same thing. Mortify equals crucify. What is the purpose of the cross? Death. It doesn't have any other purpose. Praying in other tongues. That's the subject. How the Holy Spirit here, back to verse 26 again, I'm closing. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's a lot in that a lot of revelation in that one verse. One of the reasons why you can't utter it, you don't even know what's wrong with you. You don't know why you keep doing those same things. That maybe by now, even it might even disgust you, you know. Why do I keep doing it? I'm not going to do it. Use willpower, willpower, willpower. And you may be okay for a while, but pretty soon you fall to it again. But the Holy Ghost, you can't even utter, I don't know why, but the Holy Ghost does know why. He'll start shining that light. Every closet, every closed room of the soul, even you don't go in there anymore. So ugly in there, I don't even go in there anymore. Sure don't want anybody else knowing. You keep praying in other tongues, he'll open that door, shine a light in there. Boy, once he deals with it there, once that is really dealt with, the root, fruit doesn't grow back anymore. I mean, that tree is dead. That's when Jesus says, even if you're bearing fruit, I'm going to prune you. Prune means I'm cutting off the dead limbs. Cutting off the dead limbs. Why? So you can even bear more fruit. So the how do I do it, Brother Gary? How do I do what Jesus said? How do I deny myself and crucify every day? How do I do that? One really good way, according to the Apostle Paul and the Holy Ghost, spend time praying in other tongues. Let him expose all of those darkened areas, all those dark places where the cockroaches run. You get that? That's where all the strongholds are hiding in you. They're just like that. They're hiding from the light. The Holy Ghost will turn on that light. One by one by one, you can crunch your own cockroaches. The ones of the soul. And eventually we're going to get, I think not eventually, soon, quickly, this year. King Cockroach is going to lose that chain. He's going to lose authority over that body. And we're going to be free to serve the living God. And go free all the way into revival. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? I had a real good time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Remember, mortify equals crucify. Every time you see mortify, know that's telling you how you can crucify the flesh. How you do it. He's given us weapons. I've got to quit. I'm just going to do it all again right now. No, I'm not. Okay. Hallelujah. Find your calling. Find your call. Pray until you find out what he's called you to do. You'll never work again a day in your life. You do it for free and he'll pay you anyway. Glory to God. Or he'll meet your needs. I want to use the word pay, but he'll take care of you. Oh, hallelujah. Let me listen now. Don't forget the teachings about the gifts of the Spirit. Don't get caught up week to week and forget the things that have come before. He is real serious about you keeping constant aware that the Holy Ghost is with you. I mean with you. With you. Right with you. Everywhere you go. And awareness of that makes you a prime candidate. It doesn't have to be in Mexico where the blind eyes open and the deaf ears open. It could be at the Walmart. It can be at the gas station, be wherever, you know. Don't forget that. We're coming into a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful and scary time. Yeah. Obeying God is the best thing and the scariest thing I've ever done. Yeah. It's wonderful. It's when you leave the boring world of church life and you enter into adventures with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I gotta quit. Father, we thank you and praise you for this service, Lord. Father, help us. Thank you for all you've done for us. Father, thank you for our pastor. Thank you, Lord, that we've been able to receive and hear these wonderful things. Father, at least we have our shot. At least Pastor Dave didn't keep us locked up in religion, not letting us know the real keys of the kingdom. Father, we have our chance. We have our shot. To come into heaven with a full reward. Father, we thank you for all that you've done, are doing, and will do for us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.